okay, they will open it again, close it again, open it again, close it again, so you'd rather leave.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. There is a casino in South Africa where they have a prayer room. Did you hear what I just said? There is a casino in South Africa where they have a prayer room. And they have halal food. And so people who go to gamble, which you and I know is haram in Islam for Muslims, they pray. And they do their salah there and they ask, where is the prayer room? We heard there is a prayer room here. And they make use of that prayer room. And when they are hungry, what do? They ask for halal food. So it's very interesting to see this, because on one hand there is something major that is wrong that's happening, but on the other hand there is a prayer room. Imagine in the midst of all of that. And so there was a debate. What was the debate? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? So I want to ask you, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Tell me. I heard someone say both. Thank you so much. Wallahi, I was waiting for that answer actually. So today I want to talk about something very interesting, that my brothers, my sisters, if you are involved in a sin, it does not mean you must automatically be involved in more sins. Minimize it to the least. You're involved in one thing wrong. Don't say, because I committed adultery, I'm not going to pray anymore, I'm a hypocrite. No! You seek forgiveness from your adultery. Perhaps your prayer might be the issue that will save you from more of that. I'm not encouraging or discouraging the particular matter. I wanted to start my speech off this way in order to generate interest in your mind. That's all. But the reality is, a lot of us are struggling, and I've come across more and more young people who say, I'm abandoning my hijab because as it is, I hardly pray. Why do you want to be punished for two things or three things or four things when your weakness is actually only one? So for a person who wants to understand the system of Allah, Allah is just. He won't punish you for 10 things when you only did one wrong. Going to gamble was wrong, but if they didn't pray, it was going to be even more wrong. And if they ate haram or drank haram, it was going to be even worse. But for us, because that one is quite a big issue, we wouldn't expect someone who's committing that type of a sin to say, brother, it's time for Asr. Before we miss the prayer, let's go and pray. May Allah forgive all of us and strengthen us. Now, in our lives, none of us is perfect. To be honest with you, we falter, we err. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءُ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All human beings make mistakes. We commit sins. All of us, me included, all of us. The level of sin is different from person to person. But I want you to know, because you have committed a sin, don't become even worse and say, you know what, I drank alcohol, so 40 days I'm not going to pray. Oh, that I hear so many times. People say, you know, there is a hadith which says, if you drink and you intoxicate yourself, your salah won't be accepted for 40 days. Fair and good. But does that mean you don't pray for 40 days? No. It only means you will have to pray, because if you don't pray, you are punished. But you won't achieve what you are supposed to be achieving from that prayer for 40 days. Correct. So there is a difference, because if you leave the prayer out totally, you are going to be punished for leaving it out. Unless you make peace with Allah and seek forgiveness and do the right thing. But if you think that, okay, you know, I did something wrong, let me pray. Perhaps I might not achieve the benefit of it for so many days. But if you are dedicated, perhaps it might be that other act of worship that you're involved in that will help you eradicate the major weakness that you have in your life. I give you another example. If you build a habit of starting your day, obviously with Salatul Fajr, but if you started your day with two verses of the Quran before you leave the house, is it a difficult thing to do? It's not difficult. Two verses, pick up the Quran. Wallahi, try it. My brothers, my sisters, try this out. You have a Quran, a proper Mus'haf, you know. It's better to read from the Mus'haf than from the phone. Do you know why? Anyone can quickly think of why is it better? It's one notch better, one notch better to read from the Mus'haf. The Mus'haf meaning what we call the Qur'an, you know, the printed Qur'an. It's one notch better to read from that than to read from your phone. But it's permissible to read from your phone. You will still get 10 rewards per letter when you read from your phone. But it's one notch. Why do I say that? No. A distraction can be there in both. Wudu. You know, I need to come to Harlow more often, man. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Allahumma barik. May Allah bless you guys. Alhamdulillah. Wudu is the difference. For the phone, you don't really need wudu. But for the mushaf, you're going to need wudu. So isn't that one notch better? It's one notch above the other one. That's the only difference I can actually think of. But to be honest with you, if you have the mushaf, a mushaf will also bear witness for you or against you on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine if you picked it up every morning and read one verse. Do you know how long it takes to read one verse? 30 seconds. Well, depending if it's Ayatul Mudayana, which is the longest verse, it will take you longer. But on average, it will take you a minute, 2 minutes, one verse. If you have that habit, guess what? It will instill within you a connection with Allah that will result in your protection through the day and so much more. MashaAllah, donate generously because what we are doing right now in the masjid or in this particular beautiful center, we are using the facilities and we didn't pay to use the facilities. In the case of a lot of the people, including myself, I'm here for free. So because what I'm doing right now, it will cost the center some money to pay for the electricity, to pay for, you know, me standing here, the whatever else, the salaries, a few pounds inshallah. We can help each other by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as much as the uncles who get up on a Friday might irritate us, wallahi, they're doing a job that is very, very important. They're giving you a chance and opportunity to contribute to the house of Allah. So sometimes put in a few coins and give them. Or nowadays I noticed it's electronic. You just got to tap, tap, tap. Tap your phone also, inshallah, no problem. May Allah bless you. So the point I was raising is when you start off with one verse of the Quran a day minimum, there is protection. Do you know there is evidence that the verses of the Quran protect you? They will cure you. Ayatul Kursi, wallahi, I've heard non-believing people who deal in witchcraft and all sorts of clandestine, unacceptable things say that we can never get to a person who reads Quran. Wow! Muslim, go and check it out. It's available for you to see online. They say a person who prays 5 times a day, it's so hard to actually get to that wavelength needed to penetrate them to do some magic or some evil on them. Wallahi! The non-Muslims are saying this. And this is something shocking because many Muslims take the Quran lightly. It's the most powerful book in existence. The most powerful word in existence. Connect with it. You know how to connect? One verse. Wallahi, what I'm telling you is very practical. I'm not going to give you difficult things. Guys, do one juz a day, spend 1 hour. We are telling you 1 minute. 1 minute. Wallahi. So when you start off that way, it's a habit. You ask Allah, oh Allah, protect me from haram. You must make dua. No matter what you are involved in, say you have a weakness of some sin, some people drinking, some people adultery, some people gambling, some people pornography, whatever it might be. Your weakness is your weakness, work on it. But connect with Allah. Ask Allah, oh Allah, protect me from this. I don't like it. I want to please you. Oh Allah, make me strong. The barakah and the power of your dua, it will bring about change one day in you. It will bring about the change one day in you. Make the dua. It's okay. Allah will bless you and open your doors. But when you close the dua and you close the Quran and you don't even pray and you don't even want to think about how to dress and you don't even want to think about what you're listening to, in that case, where's your chances? Where's your chances? You have minimized them. You made them less and less and less. I remember long back, someone asked a question that if I were to participate in the lottery with the intention of donating the proceeds to the masjid, is it permissible? Can you imagine how sharp the kids are today? They say, look, old, every week the uncles are collecting money, like we said, right? So what if I just every week I put that money into a lottery and guess what? My intention is I want to donate to the masjid. I might just hit the million one day and we can have a good new Harlow masjid, mashallah. Do you know what? It's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because your intention from the beginning to doing something wrong cannot be a purified one. It cannot be a purified one. It is wrong from the beginning. But if you say, I'm going to donate every week, and I'm going to give this money or some money every week, Allah will multiply the reward of it way beyond that entire lottery. But there is another catch to it. If a person was participating in a lottery without having been close to Allah, the intention was to make money for themselves. This is haram in Islam. It's gambling. I started off by talking about gambling. This is part of gambling. And one day they won. And they won big bucks. Mashallah. 1 million, 2 million. Let's make it interesting. The biggest one. 100 million. Wow. And now he's looking at the 100 million and he's thinking, Astaghfirullah. You know what? I need to turn back to Allah. So where did the tawbah happen? It happened after he won, right? Where did the intention occur? The intention of turning back to Allah happened after he had already participated. Now if you get the money, speak to your ulama and your scholars and they will teach you how to get rid of that money or what to do with it so that you are absolved and someone might benefit without the intention of having done an ibadah but with the intention of getting rid of something that's not properly yours. Right? So that is a little bit different from a person who goes into it thinking, I want to do good. It's like a thief. A robber says, Robin Hood style, I want to rob the rich in order to serve the poor. We say in Islam, it's not permissible to rob. No. As you notice, Robin Hood is not a Muslim name, right? Alhamdulillah. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. My brothers and sisters, in our day-to-day struggles, we should understand, have some deed that you can count on. Something. What are you doing that is a good deed you constantly do? It could be a sadaqah. You might be a person who's helping someone for the sake of Allah. Today we have a sickness. When people are in need, we look at who they are, what they look like, what is it, how can I benefit from this person. So a lot of sisters complain that I'm not pretty enough to receive donations. And I used to wonder, what does that mean? Now we know that sometimes the guys who want to give money, they look at the woman and they see, hey, she's young, she's good looking, just give her, you know, give her something, help her. When you can help someone who you haven't even seen or who might not be of any form of attraction at all in worldly standards, that is sent by Allah to test you. Are you going to help? Fi sabilillah. Now when you help, you're a winner. You are a winner. We have come to you today with Abdullah Aid, and I'm an ambassador of Abdullah Aid. We travel the whole world. And we try to look for people. We don't even know. We go to the poorest areas in Africa, in so many other places. What's the idea? To fulfill the duty and responsibility that people have placed on our shoulders to look for those who are in need, no matter who they are. And that's what we're doing. So the same applies with all of us. What is your secret? Good secret. When we commit sins, because we believe in Allah, we are embarrassed if anyone found out. And we don't. We cover our tracks. We delete our messages. We format our phones. We have the chats already deleted because we don't want people to notice that, hey, you know what, I'm doing something wrong. May Allah protect all of us. Say Ameen. But we are hiding from human beings when we are doing something wrong, because we believe, you know what, it will be an embarrassment. I don't want them to know about my weakness. Why don't we hide the good deeds as well? At least one or two. So I give you an example. To donate money, people say, I'll donate, but not in the public. I'm not going to put my hand up and say, guys, I'm giving 10 grand, right? 10,000. And then there's other people who put up their hands and donate the 10,000. Now, what is permissible? What is not permissible? Allah answers the question in the Quran. إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِيَ وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah says, if you are going to show the charity you've given with the correct intentions, it's fair and good. It's acceptable in the eyes of Allah. What is the intention? I'm giving this 10,000 for the sake of Allah. in a public way so that my friends, my circles and others who are wealthier than me can be encouraged to give and to say, if this guy gave 10, I will give 20. So you will get a reward for the 20 someone gave by looking at your donation. My donation is not to boast or to brag, but rather it is to encourage, especially when you're in your own circles, you know. That's permissible. Allah says, you can get a big reward, double, triple. Anyone who gives after you, you get a reward for all of those, all of them. But Allah says, if you were to be quiet and silent and hide it and give it to the poor, it's better for you. Meaning there is scope for this and there is scope for that. It depends on your intention. It depends on your intention. If your intention is a good one, inshallah, you get a good reward. If your intention is a bad one, then you need to rectify the intention to get a good reward. You need to rectify it. So when we do something wrong, we want to cover it. Sometimes when you do something right, cover it as well. Keep a secret between you and Allah. Something. What is it? It might be verse of the Quran every day. It might be that you are trying to do hifz, trying to memorize Quran. How much should you memorize a day? There is no limit. There is no beginning and no ending. You can memorize as much as you can. Everyone has a different capacity. You might want to memorize one verse a day. You might want to memorize one verse a week. Every Sunday, I get up in the morning, I try my best, I'll repeat this verse 23 times looking inside. I'm saying 23, it's not in the hadith. No. 23, my father, when I was little, he used to make me read a verse looking inside 23 times. He told me, you learn a page a day. When I was doing hifz, I did a page a day. He says, first you look inside, read this page 23 times. Then you start one verse, read it 4 or 5 times. When you know it, look outside, read it 4 or 5 times. Then read the next verse 3 or 4 times. You know it, read it looking outside 3 or 4 times. Then you read both verses looking inside once, twice. Then you read them looking outside 2 or 3 times. Then you join the third one. You read it 3 or 4 times. And then you join 1, 2, 3, looking in, looking out. And that's how we did the page. And we did that every day for 2.5 years. And we were done with the whole Quran. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Right? A juz a month. 30 juz, 2 months. 2 years, 6 months. Done. In fact, it took a little bit longer because of sometimes we were a little bit slow, school holidays and this, that. But 2.5 years generally. My brothers and sisters, if you make an intention, I'm going to memorize one verse a week, I want to tell you what will happen. You see, if you look at the theme of today's talk, you will understand what we're trying to achieve. To say, let's do the best we can in whatever way we can. And don't look at the sins and all that we're involved in to discourage you from the good, but rather look at it this way, that if I do good, inshallah, it will help me eradicate the bad. Because the Quran says, "Innal الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ." The good deeds will wipe out the bad deeds in so many different ways. It's so many different ways. When you've done bad, it will wipe out. What will it wipe out? Bad doesn't wipe out the good. It's the other way around. When you've done good, it wipes out the bad. Inshallah, if I get a moment, I'll explain to you that from a different angle. But the point I'm raising here is, don't let the bad you've done make you stop the good. Keep the good going. You're learning a verse a day. The benefits are, some of the benefits are, Allah rewards a believer with intention. That's something amazing. So I'm making, say for example, you are 50 years old, right? 60 years old, right? 50 like me, or 60 like the uncle. Sorry, I hope you're, you know, you might be less. If you notice, I didn't point at a particular uncle. I just saw the gray hairs. I said, you know, I'm presuming. But they look as young as 25, right? MashaAllah. One uncle's pointing at the other one. Don't worry. Together, you are more than 60. You know, on a lighter note, there was an old man, and his wife had passed away. And they asked him, he was quite old, about 70. And he was a little bit Alzheimer's, and you know, they told him, you know, your wife's passed away, it's better for you to get married. He said, no, I can't now. How will you find someone? He says, no, we look. He says, tell us, how old would you like, you know, your wife to be? He says, look, I'm about 70, she is 60, it's okay. So they asked him, so if we don't find a 60-year-old, what should we do? He said, bring 2 by 30. May Allah forgive us. Okay, so basically, sometimes our combined age is something else, right? My brothers and sisters, Allah writes for you the reward of being a hafid from the day you started. How's that? Because you made an intention, I'm doing one verse a week. How long will it take? It will take a lifetime. One verse a week is too little. But because you did it every single week, you will be resurrected with those who have memorized the Quran if you were serious about it. Because that's how it is. Even with the Hajj and so many other things. You made an intention and you're on your way and you passed away. You will be buried in your ihram and you will be resurrected saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. It's in the hadith. Because it's a reward. But did you do your Hajj? No, I was on my way to Hajj. I started the journey. Allahu Akbar. The mercy of Allah. Did you start your journey of Hifz? Allah will resurrect you as a Hafiz. By His will. And His, that's why I say, do these good deeds. They will help you. That's the minimum you're going to achieve. You might never finish. But in the eyes of Allah, the reward, plugged in. Why? Because this worshipper of mine, he wanted to do good. Now, I want to tell you another quick thing. Speaking about the good and the bad, Allah has one very, very beautiful method of judging on the day of judgment. You know, you and I, when we do something wrong, people don't forget for the rest of their lives. Even when you're 60, they say, oh, this is the same guy when he was 18, he robbed the bank. Right? But I robbed the bank of five, sorry, not me, but I'm saying, but the guy robs the bank of £5, he paid the punishment, he did whatever, he went to prison, he came out, give him a chance, man. He's a different man. But when he's 70, they say, you know, who's this guy? Let me explain to you. He's the same guy who did X, Y, and they'll talk about bad things. People don't forgive you, but Allah will forgive. Khalas, gone. So Allah Almighty's got something unique, which I want you to remember, because all of us are sinful and we need hope for the day of judgment. Allah Almighty tells us on the day of judgment, something is going to happen that is mind-blowing. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Allah says, on the day of judgment, we will put up the scales of justice and nobody will be wrong. How is that so magnificent? I tell you how. What is a scale? Can you picture a scale in your mind? A scale has two sides to it. One side they put the weights, right? The other side they put the product. The scales of the judgment day, they're actually one side the good deeds and one side the bad deeds. So do you have bad deeds? Yes. How many are they? Put them here. Let's see. That's Allah. That's Allah. He didn't say paradise is for those who did not do bad. Paradise is for those who did more good than bad. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Are you following what I'm saying? It's given me hope. I finally can say, inshallah, I'm going to Jannah by the mercy of Allah. I know the deeds have a weight. Sometimes certain small deeds you think are not heavy are heavier than your imagination. So be careful. I'm not saying you should go and commit sins, but I'm telling you, have hope in Allah, because on the day of judgment when you come, there's going to be a scale. That scale is so beautiful because it teaches me that when I did more good than bad, I'm still going to Jannah. Allah says, if the scale tips on the one side, we forget about the other side, you can go to Jannah. That's, come on, man. Allahu Akbar. Look at the mercy of Allah. When he says, Arhamur Rahimin, he means it. I'm the most merciful of those who can have mercy. He's going to show that to us. He's already shown it in many ways, but he will show us on the day of judgment again. To say, you know what? Paradise is for everyone, not just for you. No. Whoever tried, whoever worked, whoever did, whoever worshipped, whoever followed, and whoever did more good than bad. That's why the Quran says, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Clear cut verse. Whoever's side of good deeds on the scale is heavier. Wow, those are the successful ones. Did you do bad? Yes, I did a lot of bad. But you know what? I tried always to do good. The hadith says, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوهَا. What does that mean? Whenever you do a bad deed, do more good deeds, or do good deeds after that. They will wipe out. How will they wipe out? Because there'll be more good than bad. The bad is gone. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And sometimes Allah will remove the bad. And when you've changed your whole life and you no longer do those bad habits you had, say for example, I want to give you quite a graphic example, right? Say a guy who's hooked onto pornography. May Allah protect all of us. We're living in an age of porn. May Allah protect all of us. Say a guy hooked on it. And one day, something happened in his life. Like he went for Hajj or something happened. And you know what? He says, no, I'm no longer doing this because that's it. It's enough. For the sake of Allah, I'm quitting. Allah says, every time you have the urge and fight it, you have a reward of an act of worship. Anyone who plans to do bad and doesn't do it is rewarded for not doing it. Did you ever know that? I even had a youngster, I said it in one of my talks, who came to me after a talk like this one somewhere. And he says, is it okay if I plan evil all day and then don't do it just to get the rewards? I said, come on, man. You know, the new generation, they think up these absurd things and they come to you and they ask you, what if I plan whole day to sin? Then I don't do it because you said, if you plan to sin and you don't do it, you get a reward. I want that reward. I said, come on, guy. You know, people think too much. But Allah, He tells you genuinely, if you as a human, not to sit and plan intentionally, but if you plan to do something wrong and then between you and the action, you shook your head or you just said, no, you know what, for the sake of Allah, I'm leaving. Allah says, we reward you because it's only because of us that you left it. So if you've quit your habit of porn, you know what may happen? When you've changed your life and never gone back to it, Allah says, we will take all the sins you committed in the past of that same nature, and we will convert them into good deeds because now you left all of that only for us and nobody else. For your gratification, instant gratification, fake gratification, you could have continued. But because of the genuine gratification of serving Allah, you quit it. We will write it as good deeds. So when you go on the day of judgment, and this is a verse of the Quran, by the way. Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That those people who have changed their lives and made tawbah and become different people, whatever they did in their past, Allah says, we take it and convert it and put it on the right side as ibadah. So when you come on the day of judgment, you're going to see Hajj. And you haven't been for Hajj. You might. You might see lots of ibadah, Quran, sadaqah, whatever. You say, hey, is this really my account? Yes, it's yours. When the day you left your sins, we converted all those sins into good deeds. Congratulations. Allahu Akbar. That's the mercy of Allah. Can we lose hope in the mercy of Allah? My brothers, my sisters, wallahi, it's amazing. The favors of Allah is so many and so, mashallah, Allah is really, when He says, I'm the most merciful, the most kind, the most loving, that's it. He is. Yes, His punishment is severe, but you got to be really evil. You got to be a person who has no connection with Allah. If you have, today we are sitting here coming to pray. And what is it? If you, what else? You have a connection. Even if it is a light connection, work on that connection, make it stronger. Do